plenty to unpack in the cricketing world, and we thought we'd invite our cricket correspondent, Kevin Rademaux, who's very, very popular on the show, to have a chat to us about all things cricket. Kevin, good evening. Happy Heritage Day to you. How did you spend your day today?
Good evening, Michael, and happy Heritage to you as well as to your listeners. I hope all your listeners celebrated all things good for South Africa, our beautiful country. I just had a relaxed day. I'm actually was watching the cricket, believe it or not, between Australia and England at the moment. England are doing very well. Watching two good sides, Eric.
Fantastic. Talking about two good sides, I have to say this to you, because for you and me, we had a fantastic weekend in the Championship. Let's just switch sports for 5 seconds. Luton winning 2-1 at home to Sheffield Wednesday, and back off out of the relegation zone and now playing according to their proper strength. And Norwich beating our bogey side Watford by 4-1 this weekend. So it was smiles all round for both of us, I guess.
I think my smile was a bit bigger than yours.
No, I doubt that. I doubt that.
I can bet you. Let me tell you why. You started early in the day beating our big rival in Watford.
Oh, yes.
We hate the most.
Okay, well.
Up the road from us.
Uh-huh. Oh, very good. I forgot about that. But continue, Hanko. All right, let's talk about the matter of the day. Let me just tell our listeners that the match has ended 4-1 at Loftus. So Sundowns up to the top of the table on goal difference. Of Pirates and a few other sides like Golden Arrows and Polokwane City and the like, who have perfect records at this stage of the season. But Kevin, looking back on the men's series, firstly, let's start there against Afghanistan. We spoke to Ken Borland on the show last week, and Ken was saying it's a crazy situation to go and get bowled out for 106 in your first international. No matter what the conditions are, no matter what the pitch is doing, South Africa should not be being bowled out for 106 against Afghanistan. Do you concur? What do you think is wrong? Was it a lack of preparation going into it, or was it just a failure to play the conditions?
Look, I don't often go against what Ken says. That man watches a lot of cricket and he knows his stuff. I do concur with him. Look, once again, Michael, it's a tricky thing. It's not as easy as people think. Those fixtures were not originally in the calendar. You'll also notice that most of our star players were not playing in the series. They're not playing against Ireland either. We're talking about Klaassen once again, and I sound like a stuck record. Miller, Jansen, Rabada, Myraj, all of those are playing their game around the world. Klaassen is out for personal reasons. So it was a bit of lack of preparation, I think. I think also to answer your question is, I think Ian Mulder admitted that by even saying that they didn't have enough video footage of some of their spinners, which tore us apart, especially in that first game.
And in the second game, it didn't go very much better. Afghanistan posting over 300, South Africa at one stage looking as if they might be competitive in the chase, and then completely falling apart as the spinners came on.
That's correct. Afghanistan scored 311, but I'm scoring 100, which is brilliant, and we'll be playing for the Pretoria Capitals next year. And you're correct. Vuvuzela started after missing the first match. He had a great opening partnership, and then the spinners once again, and the pitch got to us. I want to say this, Michael, as well, though. I think you've been to the UAE. It's not easy out there. The temperatures at the moment are 38, 39 degrees. We even saw with Markram in that last match, he was barely even able to hold the bat. It's tough. I want to try and stay positive because there's a lot of negativity around the Proteas at the moment. And it is tough, although I think the coaching staff and the players are very well aware that they need to start winning.
Just putting things right in the dead rubber, of course, in the third match where South Africa were utterly in control of that match, but by then the series had effectively already been lost. Are there some positives that South Africa can draw from that? Can they pick up some sort of positives in terms of individual performances, like a Wiaan Mulder, for example, who consistently seems to be able to perform well under pressure with both bat and ball?
Wiaan Mulder did well in the opening game. He scored their 50. He didn't contribute as much in the next games. Before I concentrate on the positive, I think let's look at the one negative. In that last match, the two best Afghanistan bowlers actually weren't playing. We all know Rashid Khan and Faruqi, who were brilliant in the World Cup. They were actually arrested and injured. So we didn't have to face them. And that's why I think our batting also did a lot better. If, on the other hand, and if you're talking about positives, it goes to show you that these world-class players make a massive difference in all teams. And when you're taking out seven of our world-class players, you can imagine why we're struggling. Taking out these seven good players, world-class players, does give other players a chance to get exposure on the subcontinent, to be able to face the extremely good spinners of Afghanistan. And once again, just to get experience. Because the only experience you're going to get is by playing in those matches. You can't get it in the net.
Moving, of course, from Sharjah to Abu Dhabi, where South Africa are going to be playing Ireland in two T20 internationals and three ODIs. What can be gained from this series, and what sort of challenges are Ireland going to present in these hot conditions that will no doubt be as foreign to them as it will be to South Africa?
Yeah, I think it will be more foreign to them. And they also haven't played any white ball cricket since the T20 World Cup. They just finished a test match, obviously, against Zimbabwe. But I think they'll also be underprepared, so it is our chance to get back onto the winning track. We haven't won a white ball series for a while now. So I think that's the number one aim, is to do the planning and to make sure our mindset is correct going into that series. And obviously identifying the places where we can outplay them, especially because they are as inexperienced as us. They can beat anyone on the day, they have to show this. But I do think there's an opportunity give Patrick Kruger, to give Rietzka, give a couple of them a chance. To Ryan Rickelton is also coming back, so to put their stamp on the game.
Let me ask you as well, the domestic series, the domestic T20 series, there's so many at the moment, starts this coming weekend. I know there's a big clash at the Wanderers. The Lions are playing the Titans effectively on Friday evening. That's going to be a thrill-a-minute game, and they're very, very excited about it. Out Wanderers way, and no doubt out Centurion way as well. Just so much cricket happening at the moment. The fixture list seems pretty full domestically this season.
I think the domestic is super crazy. I see the Titans themselves are also going to go play in the Caribbean League while they have a break there.
Yes.
And I think there is a lot of cricket, even for South Africa. I'm sure we're going to talk about it later. It looks like the test series to Bangladesh is going to happen in October. They are playing Sri Lanka in two test matches, they're playing India in four T20s in November, and then obviously Pakistan come for the big summer series here as well. So there is going to be a lot of cricket over the next 5 or 6 months, and I'm truly hopeful that the people of South Africa get behind this Proteas team and start getting a bit of a passion for cricket, because like I said earlier, there's a bit of negativity towards the team, and we often say sports unites people. But Michael, I think winning unites people more, and winning unites the nation more than sport. No one likes the support of sport, and we need to try and turn it around as quickly as possible.
Let's talk about a team that did win and won quite nicely. Our women's team against Pakistan in their three-match series. The first two matches fairly close. South Africa winning the first by 10, Pakistan winning the next one by 13. A match South Africa maybe should have won, but just let slip towards the end. But very comprehensive 8-wicket win with 9 balls remaining in the third match. So the South African women nicely set up effectively ahead of their T20 World Cup, which starts in the next couple of days.
Yes, Michael, they did do well. Look, the third match wasn't easy. There was a lot of drop catches which helped us. Spoke about the heat earlier. Annika Bos even had to retire. She was so hot and exhausted. But luckily, one of the newcomers, Derrick, came in, scored 44 off 25 balls, and won it for us. The scoreboard makes it look easy, but it wasn't too easy. But it was a great series victory. And like you say, the World Cup is starting in about one and a half weeks. So it is great preparation. Because we are playing four group matches in 8 days on the same kind of pitches. So I do believe it is brilliant preparation for us.
When I say starts in the next couple of days, I mean the warm-up games start effectively in the next couple of days. South Africa will have two warm-up games. And then what I want to talk to you about also is how the draw was done. Because looking at the group, South Africa seemed to have got off rather lightly. They've avoided Australia. They've avoided India, and they've avoided New Zealand, who are all in the other group. And South Africa are, for the listeners who don't follow it, in a group with Bangladesh, with England, who are not going to be easy at all, with the West Indies, and Scotland. So it looks as if South Africa has certainly drawn a bit of good fortune as far as that is concerned, avoiding some of the bigger teams.
I think you're 100% right. We have avoided some of the the greats, possibly England is our biggest challenge there. But once again, on those pitches, don't ever count out Bangladesh or even the West Indies, who brought some of their top players back in. But yes, I think our aim will at least to get to the semi-final. With three of those four games, you'll be in the semi-final. And on the day, anything can happen. We saw that in their last T20 World Cup played in South Africa, where they made the final and unfortunately just lost to Australia.
So based on the experience that the South African women's team has, they've still got a lot of experienced players. I mean, even Laura Wolfart, at the moment, she's in her mid-20s, but she's had a lot of experience playing all over the world. You've still got some of the big names around. Obviously, some players have retired. And you've got some of the younger players, some new names coming through, like Dirksen, for example, who's starting to make a bit of an impression, and other players who are starting to knock on the door a little bit. Do you think we have the right balance in that side to potentially do particularly well, especially given the draw that we've just mentioned?
I think our balance in the women's game at the moment and for this World Cup is maybe better than our men. And you are correct. We've got Marizan Kapa, we've got Kaka, we've got Lewis, we've got Chloe there, we've got Tasman Brooks, we've got Declerck. We've got some of the core players who have got some great experience over the last 2 years at least, if not more. And then, like you say, we've got some young Derrickans who performed against Pakistan. We've even got an under-19 player in Naidu who played in the under-19 World Cup and is now in the squad and could be a brilliant spinner for us and maybe contribute towards getting to a final again or even lifting the trophy this year. And I think that's an important thing. Germany was asked this 2 days ago, are the Proteas not being set up for failure? Are there too many youngsters? Are there too many people without experience at this point? In his day, Germany came in, he had the Cullises, he had the Graham Smiths, he had the A.B. de Villiers to help him. At this point, it looks like we might be doing our players a disservice as they're not being surrounded by the experienced players, where the women do at least have that luxury at this point.
So Kevin, then, just as we wrap it up today, give me your viewpoint as we're now effectively at the start of a very, very busy international season, busy domestic season as well, as we've mentioned. How do you see South African cricket progressing over the course of the summer, both with our men and our women's team?
Once again, I said I'm going to be positive, yeah. So we're going to be positive. I do think we will... Let's start with this. I think our main aim for this season, for the men, will be the Champions Trophy, which is happening in February. And all the 1 days that we're practicing a white ball cricket will be for that. It will be played in Pakistan, however, there's a good chance that that will be moved. I think our success, once again, of the season will highly depend on that, being an ICC trophy. So all of this will be in preparation. I think all of this will be forgotten if we do well or if we win it. I think also the Pakistan series at home in December and January is massive. As